I could tell you a story, but I like to read it even better. During the Second World War, a church in Strasbourg was destroyed. After the bombing, the members of this particular church went to see what was left, and they found that the entire roof had fallen, leaving a heap of rubble and broken glass. And much to their surprise, however, a statue of Jesus with outstretched hand had been carved centuries before by a great artist, was still standing erect, even though the ceiling had fallen down. It was virtually unharmed, except both hands had been sheared off by a falling beam. So the people hurried to a sculptor in town, and they asked if he could replace the hands of the statue. He was willing. In fact, he even offered to do it for nothing. The church officials met to consider the sculptor's proposition and decided not to accept the offer. Why? Because they felt that the statue without hands would be the greatest illustration possible that God's work is done through His people. The church is people, right? And we are the people. And in Ephesians chapter 4, we're told about these spiritual gifts. So just as an overlay, I'd like for us to look at this as well. And we'll take the definition of a spiritual gift. Look what the 1 Corinthians 12 does.
Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good.
To each one, that would be like each one? Are you an each? Some people think that is a spiritual gift, the ability to give one's life for a cause. Now, if you flip the page back over to the front page, they're listed here. We're going to be going into depth from Saturday night to Saturday night in these spiritual gifts, explaining them in detail, and whether we take one a night or we should take two or three. We want to go through these to try to inform those who don't know and also to review with those who do know about the spiritual gifts so that we can operate God's church in a fashion in which He wants it to be operated. So we list the spiritual gifts, we list the scripture where they're coming from, and then we have a statement that tells them. The first is prophecy, and somebody read what a definition of that is. God's spokesman. Okay, so I like these five words that we put there because they are different types. They're different issues, but they all come under the broad heading of the prophetic word, the prophecy. The second is teaching. That's just the spiritual gift. The person is apt to express truth. Wisdom is what? Out loud. Then there's knowledge, which is supernatural revelation of facts that could be past, that could be present, that could even be knowledge of what's in the future. Then we have the discerning of spirits, and the definition of that is?
Being able to distinguish the first love and follow the future.
Now, the reason this is important is that I've been in meetings where somebody has had permission to speak, and they spoke. In a particular meeting with a very small group after the church, like an afterglow, and somebody discerned that this was not right, and so they had the spiritual gift of discernment. So having the spiritual gift of discernment is very important to know, in this case, whether the person loves Jesus and is following Jesus. Then there's the spiritual gift of helps, and incidentally, the spiritual gift is not a natural gift. You understand? You know, if one of you guys here or ladies are just really into golfing, that's not a spiritual gift. You may have a gift of golf, but that would be what kind of a gift? Start with the letter N. A natural gift, right. So there's the natural gifts and there's spiritual gifts. And possibly it could dovetail in cases but not golf, okay? Okay, faith is the ability to believe. It's a sudden surge of faith that a person has, like the missionary who was with a friend, and believe it or not, a lion came at them, and this missionary all of a sudden had this ability of faith just to stand there and say, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus," and the lion stopped, and the lion turned around and went away. He was exercising faith. Now, I would exercise in F-E-A-R.
Yeah.
Okay. Then there's the gift of administration. This is administration, as it states, and also a governing attribute. Miracles is, what's the definition of the spiritual gift of miracles?
Activating signs so that men might know the power of God.
The best illustration of a miracle is, how do I have it? I can drop. Okay. I have keys. I'm going to drop these keys, and what's going to happen? They're going to fall because of what?
Gravity.
So a miracle would be the keys dropped, and they don't fall. Is that a good one, Nancy? She's frowning at me. Okay. But the idea is a miracle is something that's not in the ordinary. And there are people who operate in the miraculous, which is really really cool. Number 10 is healings. Healing belongs to everyone who is a Christian according to Jesus, but this refers to supernatural manifestations. According to the Bible, any Christians here? Obviously. The Bible says that the believer, if you are a believer, will lay hands upon the sick and what will happen? Right. So that God has given each one of us as believers the ability to lay hands upon people, lay hands upon your children. You can lay hands upon people and they don't even know it. Like the other day at the grocery store, I really wanted to lay hands upon this guy and try to tell him, "How you doing, brother?" And do that because the Bible says believers will lay hands upon them. But then, but there are people who have the spiritual ability to lay hands upon people, and they will receive a healing. The number 11 is what? It's a prayer language. I like that word too. Christians can have this, that speaking in a language that is not their own, prophetically speaking in tongues, would require what would be number 12, which is what? There's so many cool expressions of experiences that people have had, like at the altar, a person was kneeling with another person, and the person started praying because they were Oriental, and the person kneeling beside them understood every single word the person was saying, and they did not have that ability normally, but they were able to understand. God works in so great, mysterious ways through tongues and the ability to interpret. But there's sometimes we just use our prayer language. So you understand, and we'll get into depth about this. There are tongues used for devotional, and there are tongues used for the prophetic. Of course, the interpretation goes with that. Then number 13, which may be a new one for some of you, which is what? Actually means one just sent forth, maybe on the wandering side, going here and there, or it can be permanent. There are people who believe that there are apostles here in the sense of those. Number 14, exhortation. A definition would be what? Okay. A lot of good people do that. You know, you exhort people, and then after you've done that, you say, wow, where'd that come from? And giving, contributing material resources to the work of the Lord. That's good. And then number 16 is what? I've seen people who operate in the spiritual gift. They just felt genuine empathy and compassion for the one suffering, whether it was physically, emotionally, or mentally. The number 17, some people have they just have this gift of hospitality. Which is what? And it's a spiritual gift of leadership, like setting goals for the future, communicating so work can be accomplished. Then there's service, identifying unmet needs and get involved in tasks. Then there's pastor, the word, the Latin word, and all of you know what it means, don't you? Which is usually confined to just one location. Evangelists, what do they do? A missionary. Like we have our missionary here. And then number 23, celibacy, not getting married. Intercession, which is misspelled, is what? I think that the last two words I heard you read is really important. Intense. Intense prayer. We all pray. Sometimes we really are into our praying, but an intercessor, he has that spiritual gift. It's really the intensity would just be overwhelming. And then the last one, I do list that because there are people who have done that, and I have gotten emails within the past 10 days of a young man who refused in India, who refused to renounce Jesus. And they just shot him. I mean, this was the authorities there, the police. Either renounce Jesus or you'll have it. And there are people who are dying. And I would think that would come under martyrdom. You know, they could say, well, I'm gonna renounce Jesus out loud, but not inside. I mean, none of us know what we'll do under a condition like that. But anyway, the words following. Don't neglect them. Don't boast. Don't refuse. And don't seek the gift by the giver. But the important thing is, as I heard you say earlier when we started off, that God bestows on every believer at the moment he is saved a spiritual gift. And you've got it. You've got it. Some of you are operating in your spiritual gift. Some of you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. But just ask God to reveal. And maybe in the course of time, Pastor, we could go through, their little people who are the believers. A very special gift. And when we operate in that gift, we're going to see, experience God as we have never seen and experienced God before. Let's bow and pray. Father, I'm grateful that in your foresight of setting up the church, you set it up so that everybody in the church could be used. Everybody's so special. Like tonight, everyone, listen to me, a very, very special person. Everybody here has, according to the Word of God, their name engraved on the palm of your hand. God, that is so awesome. And with their name engraved on the palm of your hand, in that engraving is what you want them to do. And so the work of us pastors is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Let's stand, may we? And Jesus, while we stand in your presence, I'm just going to ask that your Holy Spirit bless us right now in a very unique way, because there are some people who are going through the streets of their mind right now, wondering, wow, Pastor Neil said I've got a spiritual gift. Wonder what it is. And Lord, for those that are asking, I thank you that you're going to be faithful and you're going to reveal it to us. And we bless you, Jesus, for the time we've had this evening. And we thank you that you are here to touch as you have. And after the benediction, Lord, if there are those who would pray, let, you know, move upon their heart to come to our altar here and to pray. Otherwise, dismiss us with your loving kindness and help us to know, God, that you're already where we're going. In Jesus' name, amen. And we do ask you to come forward if you'd like to pray. You want to close in any way, Pastor?
Yeah, just a couple things. Take the...